Shut, shut, water.
Where the fun begins.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
This is Rebel Force Radio.
Your source for the Force.
Star Wars news and commentary.
With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack.
I've seen Star Wars 500 times. Star Wars number one!
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
Now it's time for Rebel Force Radio.
We would be honored if you would join us.
That's right, news and commentary. We got both this week. News and commentary here on Rebel Force Radio. Chut, chut, everyone. Welcome back to the show. This week's episode for February 19th, 2021. And this is a very, I think this is a very important show this week. And we want to get right to it. There's a lot to discuss. And those of you who are supporters of us on Patreon got tipped off a few days ago about what our topic this week was going to be. And I just want to go back in time just a little bit here and remind everyone, and I think it's important to restate, because it's right there in the intro, this show is about Star Wars news, analysis, discussion, commentary. And I think that the topic, the issue we're going to be discussing this week is really one of the most important we can be having right now as Star Wars fans, and not just as Star Wars fans, I think, but as members of a civilized society. And this issue of cancel culture, of epitomized by the firing of Gina Carano by Lucasfilm Disney, has reached such a level of magnitude that we have to stop talking about fun stuff and talk about this. And I think it would, and I say that because I think it would be a mistake to not talk about it. And it's, it may not be easy for everybody because it's a very divisive thing, but hopefully we can find some common ground as we approach this from the standpoint of Star Wars fans and wanting the best for the franchise in these stories and these myths. I think they're deeper than stories. I think they have become a new mythology, and they're very important to a lot of us. And of course, here to help me do just that, no small task, and so much more, my good friend and yours from Chicago, Jimmy Mack.
Hey, Jason. Hey, Star Wars fans. Glad to be back this week on Rebel Force Radio. And looking forward to hearing not only Jason's thoughts on the controversy that went down with Gina Carano this week, but I'm looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say about it too. So there'll be definitely a healthy helping of listener feedback in this episode of RFR, that's for sure.
That's right. The call out was put on our Patreon. For anyone watching the discussions and debates online, this is a slippery slope of a topic, yes. Jimmy Mack. We would love to hear your hot takes on the Gina Carano situation via voicemail. Please try to avoid getting into the weeds about the actual content of her tweets. We'd like to hear if you think it is a good move to fire her and if she should be replaced. Should there be a new actress playing Kara in future episodes, or should they just forget the character and move on? What does this mean for Star Wars moving forward? Give us a call. So that's sort of setting the table for all of this. And then throughout the course of the program, we'll be building a timeline of events and the way this really unfolded, because I think that there's two stories here. I think there's what happened, and then there's how it happened. And, you know, I want to say that it's very easy to get political when it comes to this discussion. And I think that that's a mistake, because frankly, I think there's, blood on the hands of those on both sides of the political spectrum, on the right and on the left. I think that for every Gina Carano, you could say that there's a Kathy Griffin. But the question is, does the punishment fit the crime? And I think that's what I am particularly more interested in than anything. And there's a quote by philosopher and professor Jordan Peterson, and he says, in order to be able to think, you have to risk being offensive. In order to be able to think, you have to risk being offensive. And certainly when you're talking about anything that is even remotely controversial, you're going to naturally inspire emotional reactions from people. But, you know, I think what really matters is where you end up at the, you know, at the end of it. And, you know, Sam Harris, who's sort of the opposite of the Jordan Peterson spectrum, a philosopher, a neuroscientist, Jim, he had an interesting comment he made on a podcast recently, and he likened cancel culture to road rage. It's like road rage online. And I thought that that was a pretty apt analogy there, because of sort of the, you know, road rage is sort of characterized by in the moment, passionate reaction to something, and you don't quite know at that moment what the counter reaction is going to be, or what the impact of that very rash, quick decision is going to be. You could road rage against someone who's carrying a gun, and then things get real scary, you know, and escalate real quickly. So this idea of escalation and kind of passionate, in the moment, almost unhinged kind of reaction to things, I think that that's also a part of this.
Well, you know, it is easy to give into your emotion sometimes, especially when you have that keyboard at your fingertips and you want to share your feelings with the world, but it's a slippery slope. I've seen a lot of people talking about free speech in regards to this particular situation. While you have the right to speak your mind publicly and unfiltered, that will come with consequences.
Well, that's a great point. Yeah, it's a great point. You know, are consequences.
There's always going to be consequences. And freedom of speech, that applies to the way a government enforces things like that. You know, we can't have governments shutting down free speech. And nobody shut Gina's free speech down in this situation. Nobody did that at all. She still has the right to say whatever she wants on Twitter. And I'm not going to judge what she said. I think she has all the right in the world to express herself on social media. But I also know that in the digital age, employers and corporations keep a close eye on that stuff. And there's no law that says corporations have to abide by some neutral code of honor. When I think about things like entertainment contracts, the ones I've seen, and I have seen a few, they all contain verbiage about a corporate code of ethics. One of my opinions of the situation is Gina had to have known where that line was being drawn, and it almost seems like she was delighting in crossing that line. And so maybe that's what Gina has wanted. Maybe she wanted to reinvent herself as a political commentator. Perhaps that is her top career priority now. But I find that hard to believe considering all the attention and acclaim she received from her work on The Mandalorian. And I also find it to be really rather unfortunate. I find the whole thing, the whole situation to be really unfortunate. I spent a good time this weekend looking at the debates and emotion flying all around online in the wake of this controversy and her being fired from Star Wars. And I even had to referee a few fights on the RFR Facebook group. Not fun. I don't like having to do that. But like so many other Star Wars fans, Mandalorian fans, I find this whole mess to be very frustrating and very depressing, quite honestly.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think when you talk about, you can't have a right without in some way taking on the responsibility of that right. So I think that rights and responsibilities go hand in hand. You can't have a right without a responsibility, because your right is also my responsibility and vice versa.
it's, you know, I would be a hypocrite if I didn't say that I've always believed in the people who represent Lucasfilm and Star Wars. Their access to social media puts them in a position where they are actually representing the Star Wars franchise. And I've spoken about this time and time again. I just see it happening over and over again with Star Wars representatives getting very mouthy on social media, and then there's big fallout. And this is the biggest fallout of them all, this particular situation. Because here we are again at the next stop of what seems to be a never-ending parade of Star Wars PR nightmares due to their associates' use of social media. I mean, here we are again. So I just want to use this as an opportunity to address the way Lucasfilm cultivates social media and how their representatives use it. Because over the past few years, we've seen plenty of social media comments from many who still remain employed by Star Wars. Comments that could be considered abhorrent. And I've seen fans complain with no reaction from Lucasfilm until this particular controversy. Have you noticed each time Lucasfilm has another social media controversy, it gets picked up and amplified by bigger and bigger outlets? I mean, much bigger than the fan community, Jason, you and I find ourselves, and our audience find ourselves in. This stuff has gone mainstream and keeps getting more traction. So I, once again, for the millionth time, I request Lucasfilm to establish and enforce a consistent social media policy.
You know, my day job is with a small, relatively small performing arts center. It's a not-for-profit. And I remember from day one, we as employees cannot both represent the company and, while representing the company, post things that would not be considered appropriate. And Jim, you talk about, you know, seeing entertainment contracts in the past. And I don't know if Hollywood still has this, but there used to be morality clauses in, you know, in the old days of Hollywood, where these actors, you know, they couldn't be running around having affairs. And if they did, they couldn't get caught. I think that's generally the rule. It wasn't that you couldn't do it. It was that you couldn't get caught doing it. And that's why, you know, they had great PR people that could spin this stuff or, you know, call in some favors and get it off the papers. Very difficult to do now with the 24-hour news cycle and with the proliferation of, you know, social media, new media and all of that. But your point about where is the line between being an individual with your voice and your right to express your beliefs, your opinions, your views, when are you acting as an individual and when are you acting as a representative of a company or an organization? I think that that is unclear.
Yes. And I think that this needs to be talked about more and more. Last weekend, I used this situation as an opportunity to talk to my two young adult sons about ethics and responsibility when it comes to social media. And I explained to them that your words may have professional consequences and your words can be used against you in the future, regardless of which end of the political spectrum you might find yourself on. Because cancel culture is a two-way street. And I think, as a society, I think that we are still going through massive growing pains with the rise of social media. Everyone has a platform. And everyone has that platform without any education or journalistic ethics training. We need more education. There should be mandatory social media ethics classes taught in schools at every level. Because it's exciting, you know, we all have access to such a powerful platform, but we have to remember the words of the wise Uncle Ben Parker, who said, "With great power comes great responsibility." And I just don't feel like we are educating ourselves enough on how to be responsible with social media. We're waiting for the government to come down and establish all of these lines. You know,
that's scary.
I know that's scary.
That's what you don't want.
I know that's scary. And I just saw an ad from Facebook where they were saying that they were all for new internet regulations.
Well, yeah, because they have lobbyists helping to write those laws, I'm sure.
Exactly.
So they're all for it. But I do want to say it's interesting because you talk about journalism and ethics and these sorts of things, but can't you sort of boil a lot of this down into the same ethics and the same morality or moral compass, however you want to describe it, that you would use in just your daily interactions with other human beings?
Right.
There's something about social media, and mm-hmm. it wasn't until I started doing podcasting, and now you've lived your life, you know, in the public eye, and certainly lived with your wife who's lived her life in the public eye. So this wasn't new to you. It was new to me when I started podcasting, 14, 15 years ago, that people would email you as if you weren't a real person. They would say things to you that over email or over social media that they would never say to you to your face. They wouldn't have the guts.
Mm-hmm.
So some of this is just about, why don't you practice the same restraint and the same common decency that you would in face-to-face interaction as you do mm-hmm. on social media? So that's what I think. Now, your point about journalism and all of that, yeah, I think that not everybody is a journalist, clearly. I think there's people on cable news that don't qualify as journalists and they're masquerading.
Well, it has devolved. It has devolved with the rise of social media, I have found.
Yeah.
That broadcast journalism has gone in the flipping toilet because they're trying to stay on the same level as social media now, which is shocking that things have devolved that seriously.
Well, that's where the conversation, that's the baseline of the conversation now. Whenever mainstream media wants to sort of take the temperature of the culture, they go to Twitter, which I don't know about you, but I'm walking around, I'm living life. I don't experience on a day-to-day basis the Twitter culture unless I'm on Twitter. So I don't see how this, I think it's a very lazy way for media to do investigation and to take the pulse of people by just jumping on Twitter. And what are the people on Twitter saying? Because you can find people saying virtually anything on Twitter.
This Gina Carano situation, though, she was putting things out there that people are sensitive about. And she was warned, according to a report from the Hollywood Reporter, which...
That's a story I think just hit today. Behind the Disney's firing of Mandalorian star Gina Carano, I looked at this, and the first thing I said to you, Jim, I said, okay, this is Disney trying to get their point of view or their side of the story out there, because Gina was interviewed herself. In fact, I scoured the web. I don't think she's done any broadcast interviews at this point, but she did do a print interview with Barry Weiss on her blog. And according to Gina, she did not know she was fired until she read it online.
Mm-hmm.
So she found out at the same time as we did, as everybody else did. So does the Disney, I shouldn't say Disney, I'm assuming too much, but is that what they're also claiming in the Hollywood Reporter piece, where they sort of break down the way this all happened?
Well, sources tell the Hollywood Reporter that Gina had been repeatedly warned by those around her about her social media behavior.
By those around her. That's interesting.
Yeah, by those around her.
That could mean a lot of things. Yeah. Well, that could mean her mom.
It could be, yeah, it could be anyone. It could be her management. It could be people mm-hmm. she was tight with it on the Mandalorian production staff. Her post, they say she knew what she was doing, that she was going to alarm people, and that was her goal with the posts. And an insider asks, why would you put Jon Favreau in such a terrible position? Why would you do that to him? Because now he has to answer for her being fired. There is some scuttlebutt going on behind the scenes that Cara Dune will be getting recast with a different actor playing the character. I don't know. I don't know why they would do that, because it seems like Cara Dune as a character doesn't carry too much of the weight of the story on her back. And if they were considering, according to some sources, that the whole Rangers of the New Republic show was to be based around her, well, I mean, that show hasn't gotten off the ground yet. It hasn't gone in front of the cameras yet. It would be easy to just write in a different character in there and write out Cara Dune. I mean, you don't even really have to have any explanation for where she is. You really don't. I mean, nobody told me what happened to Dengar after Empire Strikes, or I should say Return of the Jedi, because he was at Jabba's palace. But nobody told me what happened after that. So you don't always have to know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would just be easier for all parties involved to just create a new character, even though that some sources are saying that Cara Dune will be played by a different actor potentially. I think the news that Hasbro has pulled back on shipments of the action figure and will not be re-releasing the Black Series figure or the Vintage Series figure. They are still going to come out with the classic retro vintage figure, which is scheduled to come out this spring, probably because there are just so many damn pre-orders. They just don't want to burn a dumpster full of money. But they are not going to be shipping out any more Cara Dune action figures. And I even heard Amazon, I have not confirmed this yet, that Amazon has actually pulled all Cara Dune merchandise from, which I find to be really weird. Because like what? Some kid is going to get a Cara Dune action figure and all of a sudden become politically brainwashed to believe in everything that Cara believes in, or Gina believes in? Unlikely. And then also, what about the first two seasons of The Mandalorian? The character is going to remain alive in perpetuity. People are going to be getting turned on to The Mandalorian in years to come. Young fans are going to be introduced to Star Wars via The Mandalorian for years to come, and they're going to want a Cara Dune action figure. What do you tell them? What do you tell your kids in this situation? I've had more than one Rebel Force Radio listener say, what am I going to tell my kids? They love Cara Dune. It's a real messy situation here.
I've already had the discussion in my house.
Oh, you have? Oh, we've had discussions in my house.
With my 12-year-old daughter about Cara Dune.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she doesn't understand it. She doesn't understand how, you know, at 12... she doesn't quite get what the actress says online, what that has to do with why she can't play this character on this TV show. She sees them as two separate people.
Well, you know, a lot of times you do. And that's...
Well, you should.
That's the magic...
I think.
Right.
I think
that's the magic
healthy.
Of show business.
They're not the same person.
Right.
You know, one is the outer manifestation of a job, and the other is, you know, a real individual. But we'll continue to discuss this. Let's go to the voicemails. Here is one. This is Dan from Alabama. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, Jimmy and Jason. This is Dan from Mobile, Alabama. I've been listening to the show for over a year now, and I'm a proud RFL Patreon supporter and a Facebook group member. I wanted to thank you both for all that you do. Jumping into the topic regarding the role of Cara Dune, I don't think that they should recast for the character. I think that Mando's ties to Navarro could be wrapped up in the first episode of Season 3 if they want to. You can have him say his goodbyes to Greef Karga, explain that Cara Dune is off delivering Moff Gideon to the New Republic to stand trial, and might be spending some time in the Core Worlds, and kind of have her go her own way. And then, you know, that would free up Mando to go off and handle Mandalorian business, you know, with Bo-Katan and her gang. You know, I want to see him walk the path of the future Mandalore and reunite the remaining Mandalorians under one banner and find a new home instead of, you know, going back to the same characters every season. I think that would be much more interesting. Anyway, love you guys. Take care.
All right, so just... she rides off into the sunset, so to speak, off screen, goes off and does her own thing, and she's never heard from or talked about again. Jimmy, you just said that that's a possibility that could be or should be entertained.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Just sweep it under the carpet, I guess. I just don't like the idea of the canceling the character. you know, removing merch, yep. you know. Oh, by the way, the recently announced Funko Pop of Cara Dune is still a go. So somehow Funko still knows, even if the character's been canceled, Funko can still get the merch out to the people, unlike Hasbro.
Yeah. I think there's for me, honestly, it was the conversation that I had with my daughter that I alluded to earlier. Celebrities have been saying things that I didn't agree with or maybe found stupid as long as I've been alive. I don't understand the connection between a celebrity saying, a celebrity who's in no political position, they're in no position to exert or lord power of their opinion over someone else. They're just another person with an opinion. I don't understand why that's so threatening to certain people.
Well, they have large platforms. They get idolized. There's the cult of personality. They can have a big influence, and people get threatened by that influence, I think, is the bottom line. And I think that's only natural. I mean, look back in the 60s. People wanted to cancel John Lennon because he said the Beatles were bigger than Jesus Christ. There's been a lot of things that have happened over throughout the last 50 years where people have put their feet in their mouth and they've ended up losing their careers as a result of it. So this really isn't anything new. It's just very amplified because of the social media aspect and the political aspect. You know, the Disney company really did establish a baseline 3 years ago when they fired Roseanne. And she had the number one show on television, and she made a very, tasteless joke on Twitter, and there was zero tolerance for that. So this is the same company. However, from what I understand, the decision to let Gina go comes from Lucasfilm executives, obviously, the Kathleen Kennedy suite. I found that out for a fact, and that Jon Favreau had nothing to do with it. That's what the Hollywood Reporter is saying. That the decision was made over Favreau's head. It was made from upstairs at Lucasfilm. So I don't let, you know, me bringing that up, that doesn't mean anything about Jon Favreau and his connection to the story. Nothing like that. I'm just saying that that's just what's being reported. That it wasn't Jon Favreau's call. It came from Lucasfilm executives.
Well, that's interesting to me because what that says is that they have at least sense enough to know that Favreau is seen certainly by the Star Wars fans as a unifying figure, a figure that is not not viewed as being on one side or the other side of the political issue, that he's just about making good Star Wars films. And point being is that few argue that Mandalorian has been a welcome reprieve from some of the more, direct from the headlines kind of Star Wars storytelling that we've been subject to. And
the thing that,
so the fact that they're running out there to sort of cleanse him of having anything to do with this, I find that interesting. Well, Kathleen Kennedy is willing to take the,
yes. This is a specific source, so you don't know what the motivation is for leaking this stuff to Hollywood Reporter. You don't know if this is a calculated leak or if it's somebody who is, speaking out of turn, that shouldn't be speaking outside the family. So they're not too specific about that. What they do have interesting information, though, is the spinoff, the Mandalorian spinoff, I'm assuming, is Rangers of the New Republic. With Gina Carano, very interesting. Her agents were negotiating for the actress to receive a sizable bump for a planned spinoff of Disney Plus's The Mandalorian that was to star her fan favorite character, Cara Dune. The actress, who sources say made between $25,000 and $50,000 per episode of The Mandalorian, was poised to be touted during the big Disney presentation at the end of the year, the Investors Day presentation, when Kathleen Kennedy announced all those 10 new Star Wars shows, including Rangers of the New Republic. It was apparently Kathleen Kennedy was supposed to be saying something about Gina Carano in Rangers, or Gina was actually going to make an appearance. They're not specific. But at the last minute, the plans were pulled off the table for her to be part of this presentation. So we only got information about the series, which still appears to be a go. It still appears to have a green light. Obviously, if Gina Carano, if her career with Star Wars was in such jeopardy by those December announcements, Jon Favreau was probably given a heads up, maybe, hey, you might want to be thinking about a plan B for the Rangers of the New Republic show. Or maybe he wasn't told anything at all, and he's just been working on that series for the last few months under the guise that the show was going to star Gina Carano. So now he's left holding the bag, and he has to readjust his series to match up with the call that came from the Lucasfilm executives.
Well, here's the thing that doesn't quite add up to me is, you know, Gina certainly is not a stranger to controversy. It has seemed to follow her really since her becoming associated with the Star Wars franchise. And one of the first things to kind of blow up was her refusal, and, you know, some would say later mocking of putting gender pronouns in her bio. And as a result of that, Lucasfilm apparently, and this is according to Gina herself in the Barry Weiss interview, she said that early on last year, before The Mandalorian came out, they wanted me to use their exact, they meaning Lucasfilm, wanted me to use their exact wording for an apology over pronoun usage. I declined and offered a statement in my own words. I made it clear that I wanted nothing to do with mocking the transgender community, and I was just drawing attention to the abuse of the mob in forcing people to put pronouns in their bio. Lucasfilm's response was to exclude Carano from all press and promotion from the show, she said.
Mm-hmm.
So this goes back. So Lucasfilm had already punished her by not letting her be part of show promotion, PR. She said, quoting Carano again, "That was heartbreaking, but I didn't want to take away from the hard work of everyone who worked on the project. So I said, okay, that was the last time I was contacted about any type of public statement or apology from Lucasfilm. I found out through social media, like everyone else, that I had been fired." So the fact that she was essentially blackballed from doing any PR for the show, for The Mandalorian, I find very hard to believe that they were writing a brand new show as a starring vehicle for her.
Right, right.
She was already damaged goods.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And see, Gina knew this. She knew she had been slapped on the wrist by Lucasfilm for her political hot takes on Twitter because she was not allowed to take part in any of this promotion for season two of The Mandalorian. So she was very well aware that they felt like she was not representing the franchise in accordance to their wishes. But yet, she kept posting controversial takes and comments. So, I mean...
Well, okay, but the only thing that...
She's making her own bed here, man. You know, I mean, she had to have been aware that she was skating on thin ice. She had to have been aware. I just wish there was more communication between the two parties, because I feel like this big blow-up could have been avoided if fragile egos weren't at play here, where it was
I think, though, if you go back and if you look at the tweets and if you look at the posts, I don't think that they don't read to me as being self-sabotaging. I think that she could make a reasonable claim. You can feel free to disagree, but I think with all of them, she could make a reasonable claim of what her intent was behind posting it, and that she's just espousing an opinion or a belief. You know, I mean, I'll give you an example. One of them that struck me as being, you know, particularly benign that people freaked out over was a post that she put. I don't know if it was Twitter or if it was Instagram or what have you, but it was something about masks, wearing masks, and it said something basically to the effect of, in a world where everyone wears masks, it is a pleasure to see a soul. So, something to that effect. I think that's.
If we're gonna be quoting her tweets, we should get them right. You know, let's listen. And I don't want to get in. Like I said, I don't want to get into the weeds of all that stuff.
But wait a minute.
And I think she knew what she was doing. She was posting things. She knew that was going to get a reaction.
But see, I disagree.
She knew she was getting that reaction from Lucasfilm because they blocked her from the media tour. So she already knew she was in hot water to begin with, yet she kept going back to it over and over again. And so I have to ask one simple question. I'd like to ask Gina. Gina, was it worth it? Was it worth jeopardizing your career and status as a regular on one of the biggest streaming shows around just to share your political hot takes on Twitter? Was it worth it? Like I said, maybe she wants to reinvent herself. Maybe she wants to be a political commentator. But, I mean, she had to have seen where the line was being drawn, especially since she admits that she was heartbroken by not being allowed to participate in the media tour for The Mandalorian. So she was playing with fire, and she got burned.
Yeah, I think it's dangerous, and I understand we don't want to go through every tweet and every post, but you're making a claim that she knew what she was doing, which implies that she knew that her posts, or that there was a deliberate attempt to rile people with the posts. And I don't think that you can make that claim unless you look at the posts themselves.
Well, again, like I said, the posts are all out there and anyone could look at them and draw their own conclusion, and many have. And she touches on some...
Yeah, the people that canceled her.
Yeah, right, but
they're the ones that have made the judgment.
You have to recognize she is touching on sensitive subject matter. And as a representative of the Star Wars company and, you know, and the franchise, she should have been prepared for backlash from that company, because I think it's pretty obvious where they stand on a lot of those points of view. You know?
Ah, whatever happened to the classic disclaimer as a kid growing up? I thought I practically had it memorized. The views expressed by the host of this program do not necessarily reflect the views of NBC or its affiliates.
Yeah, well, where's that say?
They used to say that on Twitter.
Where's that say that on Twitter?
Right.
Some people put it in their bios. My opinions are my own. You know, it's like, oh, okay, good for you. Good, that makes everything fine then, you know. You know, or if I like something, it's not an endorsement. Oh, okay. Sure, whatever makes you sleep better at night. And I hear what you're saying, Jason. It's just, again, we need to have better self-awareness of the way that we get perceived via social media. And, you know, I do agree with you. Star Wars has always taught us about the certain point of view, right? A certain point of view. But sometimes I feel this message is lost on showbiz corporate management these days and their associates, where it's cancellation, not coexistence, fueling decision making. And
right.
Is it avoidable? I say yes, it is. Yes, it is, through education. If a company like Lucasfilm could educate their associates across the board on how to represent the brand without fueling exclusion and division and bullying and, yes, even hatred, because we've seen hateful things.
Yes.
You know, and be crystal clear about your policy. For once, find consistency within the policies, or else this stuff is just going to keep happening. And there are two sides to this story, and both are culpable. Both are culpable.
Let's go. One more here. I believe this is Nate. Take it away, Nate.
Hey, Jason, Jimmy. It's Nate from beautiful Rochester. Responding to the Patreon post about the Gina Carano situation. I think it's interesting. I think what it boils down to, in my opinion, is the lack of engagement to the actual fan community. And I know that I don't want to go down a rabbit hole with all kinds of stuff with, you know, obviously all the politics and everything. But I think what really hurts is what it boils down to is just the lack of transparency from Lucasfilm, the lack of respect, I think, a lot of times towards the fans. And that comes from authors, that comes from rash decisions. There's obviously, you know, double standards, I think. And that's, I think, what's most frustrating for a lot of people is just kind of the double standards that kind of go down with certain situations. And, you know, I'd like to go back to kind of Jimmy Mack's call a long time ago, for just a cohesive social media policy. So it was just being able, I personally think that none of the actors should have any access. If they're part of a project as big as The Mandalorian, they're obviously hired for marketing purposes to project a certain, you know, message to sell, to sell this particular program to not just a small audience, but a mass audience. And I think that, you know, Jimmy Mack had a great point in the very, a while ago, maybe a year or two ago, of just having an actual social media policy that everybody adheres to. Me personally, I think I would just blow up social media altogether, but I don't think that'll ever happen. But at least having them under some type of embargo, you know, just from doing anything, if you're part of some giant project like this, because you can get into the weeds as far as certain opinions on any side that you want, and it's going to, you know, offend the wrong person. So that's just my two cents. I could clearly go into much, you know, more detail, but love to hear your guys' response. And thank you so much for all you do. And this was just a really great, responsible, I think, way to handle, you know, obviously the backlash that's been going on. Just a great way to really, you know, engage us as fans to kind of get our opinion. So great job as always, Midforce, with you. Thanks.
Chut.
I do want to, just because I think Jimmy made a really great point about we shouldn't be talking about these posts if we can't quote them exactly. So just to go back, in a world where everyone wears a mask, it's a privilege to see a soul. So that was something that she said. You could read that. I guess you could, if you really wanted to twist yourself in knots, you could find a way to... Clearly, she's not happy about mask wearing, okay? She's not happy about
who
it, but
is?
Who is? But I think the point of missing something as human beings by having half of our faces obscured, mm-hmm. I think it's a fair statement. I think it's hardly controversial, perhaps divisive in some. But the social media policy, okay, that, Jim, you've been talking about this for a long time, and it's actually not that rare. In fact, it was, you know, as far back as what I believe it was episode 8. Was it episode 8 where Anthony Daniels had his, was he one that had his Twitter account? It had to go dark. They had to voluntarily go dark on social media because of the threat that leaks could get out. This is after episode 7 where everything was leaked.
I don't recall.
I thought it was Anthony Daniels because I think, didn't he make some snide comments about, because he loves social media. Tony, you know, Anthony Daniels loves his Twitter account and likes that connection that he has with fans through that. But I know for sure that Boyega and Ridley were both told that they had to shut theirs down.
Really?
And again, it was nothing controversial at the time. It was just like, oh no, now we're down a couple of sources where somebody might get a little loose lipped. That's kind of how we viewed it. So I guess the point being is there is precedent for, you know, perhaps when you're on location, you're shooting something like that, and you're privy to this kind of news, that they suggest that you shut down your accounts, you know, for your own protection.
Mm-hmm.
But this goes beyond, you know, a simple time frame of when you're on set. Carrie Fisher has been dead for how many years now? 4 years. Mm. She's still Princess Leia. So you don't stop being the character or being identified with the character once you're no longer on set. So how long would that social media policy have to be in place?
Yeah, I'm sure it's all written in a contract or something. But, after you're done working on the project, whatever it is, whether it be a sequel film or The Mandalorian, I mean, you're under a contract. And I think during that period of time, you're under scrutiny for the way in which you represent the franchise and the corporation that is paying your check, man. So during that period, yeah. But I believe they put in a non-disclosure loophole into contracts that could go on for maybe a number of years after the project is over, or maybe it could go on indefinitely. Because,
but what would that cover? That would, non-disclosure would cover you discussing things that you were privy to because of your connection to the project,
right?
Which Gina Carano is not doing.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't be enforcing any sort of social media policy. I think that would be something that would be enforced as a project is in production and through its release pattern. And obviously there'd have to be some sort of shelf life to it. You can't just tell right. somebody they can't use social media for the rest of their lives because they shot a few scenes in a movie for you. But right. the ones who are out there representing the brand, who are Lucasfilm employees, authors, writers, people who keep going back to the well over and over again, who are recurring, play mm-hmm. a recurring role in the franchise. I think that instantly and immediately puts the extra weight and pressure of being able to represent the franchise to the best ability that in a way that wouldn't offend anyone. Anyone. So that's how I feel.
Okay.
You know, and that goes with tasteless jokes from James Gunn. That goes with political commentary from Pedro or on this side or Gina on that side. Or it comes down to directly insulting the fan base like Ryan Johnson did on several occasions. These are violations. You are not representing the franchise to the best of your ability. And you should remain neutral from taking stances on things that would divide your fan base. That's what I believe a social media policy should entail. I think it would be very easy to enforce, quite honestly.
Okay.
If you put me in charge of
it. Let's look at this from another angle, though. All right. So you could perhaps mitigate the damage that's being done by things like this, by enforcing a social media policy. And I think there's validity to that. I'd like to just throw the question out of, what are you trying to avoid? Hurting people's feelings? What are you trying to avoid by putting this policy in? So there's a policy in. So Gina Carano, if we go, we could get in a time machine, and Jimmy Mack is president and CEO of Lucasfilm, and there is a social media policy. What would have played out differently
in
Gina Carano's situation?
Oh, if I was in charge, well, there would have been more communication. There would have been much more direct communication. And there would be much more consistency across the board in the way that others use social media who are also on the payroll. See, mm-hmm. we've seen a lot of loose lips on the face of representatives for Star Wars. We've seen a lot of loose lips over the years. And I brought up a few examples earlier when I brought up Ryan. I think that there needs to just be consistency across the board. It can't just be like, you can insult people, you can say terrible things about our country's government and representatives. You can say all that stuff as long as we agree with it. That's a real slippery slope of a company policy. I think if one person at Lucasfilm is allowed to make a political stance on social media, then everyone should be able to. But if you're going to be inconsistent about it, then you need to tighten up the screws. There's an inconsistency here. So that's frustrating.
But what are we avoiding by instituting a social media behavior policy? We're avoiding
tarnishing,
or trying to avoid
the tarnishing the franchise, you know, because you turn over. Listen, when you become Rey or you become the Mandalorian, you're now part of something that's bigger than you. And I think you need to check yourself and recognize that responsibility that you have to your career and the character which you're portraying and the franchise which you're representing. I think
and the fans.
And especially the fans. Number one, top priority is the fan base. As long as they're a fan, that's your top priority.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more there. I think that, you know, this conversation we used to be having about professional athletes oftentimes, because they, you know, were for a long time poster children of, you know, for bad behavior. And people would say, well, kids look up to you. What are you doing this stuff for? What are you saying these things, or you're doing these things, or you're portraying a lifestyle that is not what you would want kids to look up to? And a lot of times you would hear these athletes say things like, well, I signed up to be, to play ball. I didn't sign up to be anybody's role model.
There you go. That's a great example to use, the athlete, because an athlete has to give up something of himself too for his career. He becomes part of a franchise. He becomes part of the history of that franchise. And he becomes the face of that franchise, a representative of that franchise, a role model. And there needs to be some responsibility in that role. And that stuff that athletes, veterans would teach the rookies going, you know, year to year, it would happen. It was a tradition to teach people how to be stand-up individuals and to put on a good face for the fans always and respect the fan base. You see a pro athlete take to Twitter and start shooting off his mouth, there is always massive fallout because that player is not representing himself. He's representing his team. And there ain't no I in team. And I feel like I feel like Star Wars needs to, and corporate America in general needs to sort of take that as a lesson. This is stuff that needs to be taught in schools, man. Before you even are old enough to sign online, you should be getting trained on how to be responsible with the keyboard. Because you're only going to be protecting yourself in the long run.
Yeah. Yeah, and the longer this goes on, you know, I was telling my kids, there doesn't seem to be a statute of limitations on your stupidity.
No.
So you're 16, you're 17, you say something dumb.
Yeah.
And then you're applying for a job at 25, or you're, you know, want to go to med school or whatever. And, you know, a simple Google search, and all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, you were drunk and you were on top of a car and there's a photo of you. Well, that shows bad judgment. So I don't think you're quite, you know, material that we're looking for. There doesn't seem to be a statute of limitations. And that's true of comedians and other people in public life, that they dig up something that was, you know, considered funny 8 years ago. Now, all of a sudden, it isn't, rightly or wrongly. And, you know, it's this sense of retroactive justice is really troubling. Now, with the Gina Carano situation, it was very much in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And you tug on Superman's cape, right? I mean, I'm not completely in disagreement with you that there wasn't some flexing. I think the kids call it that on their Roblox and their Minecraft or whatever. I hear my kids say that. There might have been some flexing going on from Gina Carano, you know, in terms of, well, I can say this.
Mm-hmm.
And acting in a very human way.
Now, and also, I don't know much about the culture of MMA. I'm not a fan. I don't follow it. But I'm familiar with the fact that it's a part of Gina's past career. And I think there might be something culturally a little more, I don't know how to put this, big-mouthed about the way that that community communicates. There might be just something a little bit more like they wear their emotions on their sleeves a little more. I don't know. Somebody can give me an email or a voicemail to fill me in on that. But somebody did tell me that when this the Gino Carano tweets really started to become an issue last year, people said to me, well, you know, that's, she is from MMA after all, and you know what goes on in there. And I'm like, I don't know what goes on in there.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't understand either. I think that, that's certainly a sport where trash talking is part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about where the line between your character, and I'm not saying that to disparage MMA fighters, and I'm not, please don't come and kick my ass. I'm just saying that certainly they're getting out in front of the cameras, and there's a theatrical aspect to it. So that line between character and the actual fighter is probably razor thin. So Gina Carano is coming from a very different, that's a good point. She's coming from a very different culture, and perhaps she thought that she could be immune to the trappings of what is expected in some cases of Hollywood types.
Maybe.
But I'm real reluctant to bring up the hypocrisy argument, but there, because you can go back and Jim, it was you that mentioned not long ago that, you know, John Lennon was in trouble in the 60s for saying that the Beatles were bigger than Jesus. And that was what you might consider more right-wing, conservative, fundamentalist Christians that were clutching their pearls at the time. So these things, and that's the real danger. And I don't understand why more people aren't uncomfortable with how easy it seems to be for a relatively small group of like-minded people to ruin other people's lives over a tweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I see.
I mean, that idea should terrify everyone, because right now, yeah, maybe your beliefs are in vogue.
Yeah.
They might not be in 10 years.
Yeah. 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 That John Lennon case you bring up is a perfect example of that. You know, if he said it today, would the fallout be anywhere near what it was in the mid 60s when he said it? He said it on the Beatles' first trip to America, too. And
we're bigger than Jesus.
We're bigger than Christ, yeah. I really think so, yeah.
Hey, Jason. Hey, Jimmy. It's Kirk from Richmond, Virginia. I'll keep it pretty brief, but I think Cara Dune should definitely continue on in the series, and we just should have another actor pick up the role. I don't think it'll be that big of a deal. I love the character of Cara Dune, and I would like to see that character continue on. We've seen actors replace other actors in Star Wars, Jake Lloyd and Hayden Christensen, of course. So I think we should just replace the actor. Not that big of a deal. And I know you said not to get into the weeds, but I'll just say that I think Disney did the right thing. I'm so tired of seeing the term cancel culture. I think that's a toxic term overall. It's not a cancel culture. It's being held accountable, right? Mm. That's what I believe. So new actor. Season 3, let's go.
Okay. All right, so objecting to the term cancel culture.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to I'll respectfully disagree. I think cancel culture is very real, but I got to be consistent, because I was the one that was calling for recasting Carrie Fisher, recasting the role of Princess Leia, because one could argue that Carrie Fisher died because of making some poor choices. And so why my feeling at the time as a fan was, why do I not get to see the story play out the way it was meant to, perhaps, arguably, we'll see. But why do I as a fan not get to see it played out just because Carrie Fisher decided to get high and get on an airplane?
Hmm.
So I'm going to be consistent and say that the character is always bigger than the performer. And if Cara Dune... if that character was intended for big things, which I'm arguing that I think that's baloney, I think it's a lot of, I think it's being blown out of proportion. I don't think that the character was meant for Big Vince.
No, I don't know. I think she was supposed to be the lead in the Rangers of the New Republic show. That's where the Hollywood Reporter article is. I mean, that's virtually confirming that.
Well, I think it's being fabricated and invented that was the case.
I don't know.
I think that that's their way of saying that's how much we believed in Gina Carano in this character. We were going to give her her own show.
Yeah, but the report says her agency was renegotiating. They were negotiating a big payday for her based on her taking the lead in this series. So
after they blackballed her from the PR trail?
That would have been before. Clearly, that would have been before.
I don't know about clearly that would have been before.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know how clearly that is.
Yeah, the media tour thing, you know, what kind of media tour is going on anyway? I mean, everyone's stuck at home and talking on Zoom. I don't think there was much of a media tour to begin with. And if I remember correctly, she was part of their season premiere whoop-de-doo they did online. Remember they did a virtual red carpet? And Gina was part of that.
Yes. Hold on. I want to, real quick.
We played the quote of her when she was talking in past tense. And we had assumed before the season even started that she was fired.
That's right.
Thank you so much. It's just been an honor. It's been an honor to be on this show, and I've loved every second of it. So I appreciate you all. Thank you so much.
We thought something might have been up, and who knows, that could have been the day she got the slap on the wrist.
Yeah. Maybe
said, this is it for you. This is it. You're going to do this event.
Mm.
It's already been booked. You're on there. You're out. But Jim, I think you are right here, because the pronoun controversy hit in September 2020, which would have been right around that time that they would have been promoting season two. So perhaps the wheels were in motion for a Cara Dune spinoff called Rangers of the New Republic. But would they have really made that call after season one? I feel like the character, she had a very impressive debut. I'm not going to push that point. I think I don't know that it matters all that much, other than to say that if she is meant for big things, or if the character is meant for big things, go ahead and recast it. Go ahead and recast it. I do want to bring up this sort of metaphor, I guess, and I'm almost reluctant to do it because it sort of assumes a level of guilt, but it is interesting. You know, we have a justice system in the United States, in the world. In freedom of speech, we should try not to be quite so America-centric. The freedom of speech is a freedom that is enjoyed by the majority of the world, certainly in the West. Most people listening to this show, I hope, enjoy a level of freedom of speech in their countries. But most civilized societies have a justice system where convicted criminals, these are people that are convicted and in many cases admit their guilt for their crimes, are, you know, find a level of redemption. They pay their debt to society and, you know, we're supposed to feel good about it. We're supposed to praise it. There are nonprofits and there are government programs that would actually incentivize the rehiring and the reintroduction of convicted criminals back into society. So my question is, if we have that kind of forgiveness for people who murder, rape, and commit heinous crimes, shouldn't there be a similar path or some sort of path for people that end up on this other side of these mobs?
Yeah, you know, it's different when you're dealing with a celebrity and a major franchise, film franchise, television franchise. I mean, you're getting into a situation where the individual is reflecting the ethics and morality of the corporation they work for, and if that reflection is not the image that the corporation wants to put out there, then they have all the right in the world to fire you. in my opinion. There was a girl who worked at Brookfield Zoo, and she was wearing Brookfield Zoo. It's a zoo here in the Chicago area.
Hey, and, Jason. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, buddy.
Sorry.
Big zoo fan. Big zoo fans checking in. But there was a, this happened a number of years ago, where a girl was going to work her shift at the refreshment stand at the zoo, and she shot a Twitter video and said, hey, everyone, I'm here at the zoo today to wait on a bunch of whiny jerkball customers and all this, you know, just ripping the clientele of the zoo. And yeah. So naturally, the zoo saw this and immediately fired that girl. And then the argument of free speech arose about, you know, you can't tell her that she can't express herself. But here she is shooting a video wearing her work uniform and ripping on the zoo customers. So naturally, she was not reflecting the ethics and morals of the Brookfield Zoo. And so she got let go. You guys can Google the story if you want. But
I remember the story. I absolutely remember it.
I'm not making it up. And and I see no difference in this situation with Gina Carano. I see absolutely no difference.
I'll push back on that. I think that there's several key differences. One is that the zoo employee was wearing a uniform. And that uniform has got a logo on it, and it's, you know, it's certainly putting that person in closer connection to the entity that she's employed by. Number
okay,
two,
wait, I'll push back on that.
She's make okay, all right,
Gina,
all right.
Gina Carano is wearing the face. She has the likeness of a character that's owned by Lucasfilm. That's her face.
Okay, fair.
Like I said, you sacrifice
that's
something.
That's a tough one.
You sacrifice something when you sign on to these big franchises. They own your likeness. They own the likeness of Cara Dune, Gina Carano's face. So yes, she is wearing
okay.
She is wearing her work uniform.
She's always wearing her work
She's
uniform.
She's always
okay,
wearing
that's
it.
Just like a pro athlete is always wearing their work uniform. That's fair. Okay, number two would be that the Brookfield Zoo employee was making a comment that directly ties to her job function.
Yes.
You know, if Gina Carano said, boy, I hate being around a bunch of commie leftist libtards on the set of Mandalorian. Okay. Now that, yes. Now we're.
Yes. Yes. But also she had been warned that her controversial hot takes on Twitter were contradictory to where Lucasfilm stood on that kind of thing. And she had to have known it. And she also probably had clauses in her contract that gave Lucasfilm all the power in the world to carry through with this termination.
Do you think Pedro Pascal has received similar warnings from Lucasfilm?
No, I don't. I personally do not, no. But he might in the wake of this.
Ah, okay. Now, there would be some real good that could come out of this. If there is an equity about the way this sort of policy is doled out. And that's something, in fairness to what you've been saying, that's absolutely what you've been calling for, is that it would be, you know, metered out equitably across both sides. Okay, here's another...
Hey, Jimmy and Jason. This is EJ from Springfield, Illinois. Cold and snowy today. Yes, just wanted to give you my view on the Gina Carano situation. To me, this should not be about politics. This is not about a cancel culture. This is about judgment. Maybe call it consequence culture. Regardless of which side of the political spectrum you fall, when you're in the public eye, you need to show some judgment about what you tweet out into the world. Words do have consequences. You know, when you're lucky enough to be in the limelight, you should use your social platform as a vehicle of positivity. Maybe express your gratitude for being blessed to be in Star Wars, send out pics of your dogs or cats, I don't care. But don't throw oil on fire by tweeting out politically charged views during a time that this country is already deeply divided. I really want to enjoy Star Wars. It's true escapism for me. If I want to hear about politics or impeachment or vaccines or whether or not to wear a mask, you know, I'll turn on one of the cable news networks. But let's keep it out of Star Wars. The two of you have said it all along. Disney needs a social media policy for its stars and employees, and they should strictly enforce those guidelines. I think it's truly too bad that we now lost someone through our own fault that I thought was a solid addition to the Star Wars universe. Anyway, thank you for all your great work on the weekly show and the Patreon bonus content. I really love listening to you guys. Peace.
Peace.
It's a great, thoughtful voice memo. Appreciate that very much. And, you know, I think that it's one of the things that's obvious as we have this discussion is that there is some consensus. And that's what I'm hearing. There's people who you can tell, I think you can read between the lines, that were, you know, perhaps offended or at worst, or irritated at best, I guess, by Gina's comments and posts. And then there are some that, you know, don't find any offense, but still we sort of meet in this middle place of okay. Like you were saying, Jim, and that it does apply in this situation. With great power and influence comes responsibility. And what do you want to use that responsibility, or what do you want to use that power for? And throwing oil on a fire, like our last caller just mentioned, I think that's an apt metaphor. And it does come down to judgment. He used that word. I think that judgment in that situation, was probably not the best. I think that the policy for me, it's an interesting idea, because it's like, well, how do you put the parameters around that? Mm. You know, when does it start? When does it end? You know, if you're always wearing your Star Wars uniform because of your face, you know, you almost wish that people could just say, okay, wait a minute, you know what? Rather than have somebody come in and tell me how I'm going to have to do this, I'm going to make the decision to be responsible, kind, and know my place. I'm not a political commentator. I'm not a candidate for political office. I know that by extension, if you look at what happened in the United States, very divided, almost 50-50. So if you come out and say something, if Star Wars fans are a microcosm of the United States as a whole, you're going to say something and it's going to offend half the people that look up to you, or that like you, or that want to support you. And if you have the right to make that decision, you have the right to be offensive. But is it the right call? Is it the right decision? Is it the right thing to do? Is it in the best interest in what you said earlier? Is it in the best interest for the fans that you're doing this for? Is it in the best interest for you? Is it in the best interest of the company that's paying you? And for the legacy, you know, just like sports teams, these franchises in entertainment have legacies. And you got to weigh all of that stuff. And then I go back to, you know, what I mentioned at the top of the show, Sam Harris said that it was, you know, sort of akin to road rage. And maybe it's not just cancel culture is akin to road rage. Maybe it's social media is, it makes it so easy and so simple to, you know, fall for the outrage of not just the week, not just the day, of the hour, of the minute, and get yourself wrapped around that axle. There's no light at the end of that tunnel, in my opinion.
Well, so hopefully, maybe, this will begin a new era of responsibility training when it comes to social media. I think a lot of people complain about how the world has become such a mean place, how people are always so mean all the time. Well, maybe if our employers and our educators took more time to inform us about social media, we'd all be on the same page. And perhaps there would be more civility in that department. But I don't know. I don't know if that's ever going to happen. What's going on at Lucasfilm now? Well, I've heard from insiders that the Gina thing has everyone on, quote, high alert. I've heard that, high alert specifically. And this was a quote. Lucasfilm's opinions on the matter are pretty clear. They're watching licensees and associates very closely to make sure they avoid being anywhere or around anyone where the opposite point of view is too strong. Those quotes from insiders.
The opposite point of view.
Yes.
The opposite point of view of what?
Of Lucasfilm's opinions on the Gina Carano matter and the politics that surround it.
Ah, okay. So avoid outlets or individuals associated with outlets where
the point of view is too strong in the other direction.
That, okay, interesting. So that perhaps the Gina Carano firing was at the end of the day, I think I don't believe that the firing was justified. I don't believe it was justified.
I wish there was more communication. I wish there was more communication because I think a lot of this could have been avoided. Apparently, Lucasfilm did try to intervene with her social media use at one point, right? And she rejected their advice. And that obviously frosted the fragile egos up in the executive level at Lucasfilm. And that's when I think the line was drawn. That's when I think Lucasfilm just waited in the weeds for the opportunity to fire her the next time she posted something controversial. And I find that really, really unfortunate, considering this is the same company that allowed writer Chuck Wendig to run wild on social media, directly insulting the Star Wars fan base, at times with violence, with generalized statements tailor-made to ruffle feathers. I mean, according to Wendig himself, he was encouraged and supported by Lucasfilm executives to continue his hateful rants until Marvel stepped in and removed him from Star Wars. Think about that for a second. The guy who referred to Star Wars fans as shitty got a pat on the back. Yet the same company lost its ability to communicate with one of the stars of their biggest show when she wasn't representing the franchise in accordance to their wishes. So where's the leadership? There's no leadership. Yeah. It's just give her rope and watch her hang herself. This could have been avoided. That's why I say both sides are culpable in this. It's so unfortunate. Yeah. And could have been avoided.
Yeah, that's really the bottom line of this is that
no consistency.
Well, and that, you know, we all lose. You know, we lose.
And we all lose. We lose. Lucasfilm loses. Gina loses. Jon Favreau loses. The licensees lose. Hasbro loses. Funko's cool, though. They're still shipping. But everyone else, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and I have been, you know, I feel like I've been fairly consistent. I've always been very, very uneasy, even when, you know, the offender was someone that I disagreed with. Very uneasy with this idea of, you know, the public tar and feathering. And it goes beyond that. I mean, if there was a story that, let's say you're a bank robber, and let's say you were just with a group of people, you were in the wrong place at the wrong time. You should have said no. You were with the wrong crowd. They commit a crime, guilty by association, you're an accomplice, whatever. And the judge sentences you to not only a year in prison, but once you get out of prison, you can no longer have anything to do with the career or the path that you are on. It's done. You cannot work in that field. You cannot work in that industry. I think there are a lot of people that are gleeful at the firing of Gina Carano that would really be seriously shocked and offended over such a sentencing, because it precludes redemption. It precludes there being any kind of evolution in the character of the accused or of the convicted. That is my biggest problem with all of this, is that I think we're playing with fire. And I don't think that people's lives and their livelihoods and the livelihoods of their families and all the collateral damage that goes with it should be ruined based on a tweet that at the end of the day, all it did was espouse an opinion that you disagree with. Why are you so fragile?
Yeah, we have a society that has become extremely sensitive. We're like gingivitis on gums. You just touch it and it starts bleeding. I mean, we used to be tougher than that. We used to be able to, you know, we used to be more open-minded. We used to understand that there are people out there who have a certain point of view that might be different than ours. What happened to that lesson? How come that lesson's not being taught anymore? I really just think it's unfortunate. And I really think that, with more communication and more education and, just a firmer grasp on what is expected of people when they log into their Twitter accounts from the corporate level, I think that that's an important conversation that needs to be had and should be going on. There needs to be more accountability, not only from the employee, but from the employer.
Sure. If you look at, though, broadcast media, and how long it took for humanity to wield them properly, appropriately. I mean, there is an aspect of this where we have to be a little bit more forgiving of ourselves. We've only had this as a reality, say for what, a dozen years, you know, a decade and a half, really, where it's really hit critical mass, where grandma and everyone else is on social media. So I think that we have to be a little more forgiving, get off our own backs and get off the backs of others. We're not going to adapt that quickly. We need time to assimilate this into our lives. And I feel like we went from 0 to 100
in just
a couple of years.
Oh, yeah. Saw that coming from a mile away. And now you're dealing with a whole generation of people who have known social media as part of their lives, their entire lives. Right. So it's, you know, they feel more like it's a right than anything, that, you know, you get born, you get handed your birth certificate and your Twitter account, you know, and, you know, and a slap on the ass to get you crying. So you have something to type about on Twitter.
Here's a question just to think about. What if she had tweeted those things, those same things, and they had been ignored? If they had been ignored by people, like people just like, whatever, who cares?
Well, then there would be no kerfuffle.
Would she have been fired?
No, of course not. Of course not.
Ah, so is she fired because of what she tweeted, or is she fired because of the mob's reaction?
Well, the mob's reaction in the fact that Lucasfilm relates with the mob. You know, they will stand with the mob as opposed to their own actress. And, I mean, that's just, you know, they said that Gina had become a big headache for Lucasfilm. No, it wasn't because of what she was saying. It was because of the complaints that were spilling into publicity at Lucasfilm.com. That was the problem.
Aha.
And the hashtag, right. the Fire Gina Carano hashtag, which, by the way, was around long before last week, as we know.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So it's nothing new.
Absolutely.
It's nothing new. So the heat was on. The heat was on with Gina. It was, and she had to have known it. I think it's irresponsible for her not to have been able to recognize that fact. She should have been more self-protective. Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Yeah, I think you're right that she knew what she was doing.
Because what's more valuable to her career in Star Wars or her status as an online political pundit. You know,
well, but she might, wait a minute though, she may not frame it that way. You know, you're framing it that way, others might frame it that way. She may frame it as that it's much grander, that she is putting her stake in the ground, mm-hmm. for her right to say what she wants. You know, it may be operating, this drama might be operating on a much larger stage, mm-hmm. for her,
yeah,
personally.
Yeah. I get it. I think she gets off on the attention. That's why she kept going to Twitter, is because she was enjoying it. She was enjoying the attention she was getting. She was getting off on it. She's a fighter. Hello? She's a fighter. Yeah. She fights, yeah. And she enjoys a good fight. I mean, you know, I'm not condemning her for that.
Yeah.
But I'm also not putting my head in the sand when it comes to the repercussions that she's paying for it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tough one. And I think that the sad thing here is that she fought, and a lot of us that were fans of that character, you know, we all got knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there is... getting back to the Hasbro, you know, issue real quick is, all right, so where does this end? You know, does it end with a special edition of The Mandalorian being released on Disney Plus where her character has been eliminated?
You know,
where those scenes have been cut out, or CG?
I had considered that, you know, with what they can do with special effects technology. You know, I mean, they brought back Mark Hamill from 30 years ago, for crying out loud. There are things that they can do to, you know, really cancel Gina Carano and eliminate, right. the work she'd done for the last 2 years on this show. And that's not fair. That's not fair to take away the work she'd put in on it. I don't know. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, people speculating who could replace Gina Carano and play the role of Cara Dune. Who could do it? Well, I don't think Gina was hired to play Cara Dune based on the fact that she's a world-class actor. I think they brought her in because she can do kick-ass fight choreography. So, and that's right. What fuels the character the most.
Well, and they blew their stunt double budget on the character of the Mandalorian.
Right. They need like 5 guys to play the man.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, right. Like, so everybody else has to do their own stunts. Yeah,
5 guys
Pedro
to play
can't.
Mando, 5 guys to puppet Baby Yoda. You got all these people on the set for like a scene with only 2 actors in it. But who could replace, you know, I've seen the name Lucy Lawless get thrown around out there a little bit. Now there's an age difference. There's a, you know, age difference, yeah, about a decade and a half age difference.
Yeah, I would say Lucy Lawless from 25 years ago.
Yeah,
maybe.
Right. Now, you know, some people said, well, what if there's a jump 10 years in the future for The Mandalorian in season 3? I think that's a long shot. I don't see that happening.
I don't think they're going to do that just to save the character of Cara Dune.
Right.
And that they can cast it as a, I think you could, and I don't, this isn't taking away anything from, I don't mean it to take away anything from Gina Carano, but I don't think it would be an incredibly difficult recasting.
No.
To be honest with you, I mean, we're not talking about recasting Brando as the Godfather, which could also probably be redone or done. But, you know, I didn't really think that recasting Carrie Fisher as Princess Leia in episode 9 was that undoable.
Right. You
honestly.
You still impress me with the fact that despite being such an original trilogy purist, that you are still just like wide open to that idea. And it could have helped. It could have helped the story in a great way. And I think that's one of the reasons Colin Trevorrow was let go, as we talked about last week, was Lucasfilm's reluctance to recast the role of General Leia, because you know, the Carrie Fisher death was just so raw and fresh. How many episodes of The Mandalorian was Gina Carano in? Has anyone,
that's a good trivia.
Has anyone
question.
Even I, thought I, of that?
Oh, you know
like
what?
Four or five episodes.
I was going to go with five. Five out of the 16.
Yeah, that'd have
guess.
To be the most. Well, she made her debut.
You look her up on the IMDb.
She made her debut in Chapter 4, The Sanctuary, and then returned for the final two episodes of Season 1, Chapter 7 and Chapter 8. So that's three episodes. Then she reappeared in Chapter 12, The Siege, in Season 2. And then came back for, what, the last two episodes. So three episodes per season. So she's been in six episodes out of 16. So not even, she wasn't even in half of them. And
so six, that's the final word.
Six. Yes. Six out of 16.
Six out of 16.
Yeah. Unless I don't think I'm missing any. No, I'm not. So, and she wasn't really anything that was a thread, you know, she didn't have a thread that was essential to the future of this series.
Yeah.
She was just basically an assistant to the Mandalorian. She never had to carry any big story arc on her shoulders.
Well, I was very much looking forward to learning more about the droppers, the Battle of Endor, and things from her point of view and or from that perspective, using her as a vessel. I always thought that her, you know, the fact that she was from Alderaan, the fact that she was at the Battle of Endor. Mm-hmm. I thought those were really, really great and compelling things. I wanted to know more. So, certainly those threads could be picked up by a recasting or even other characters. So it's a loss, but it's not one that couldn't be creatively without a whole lot of hassle overcome. But there was something special about Mando, Greef Karga, and Cara Dune.
Oh,
and them
it.
As a trio. Yeah. And I was looking forward, actually, you know, to some Greef Karga, Cara Dune action. I didn't know that it could be a romance. There could be just a very interesting partnership that was developing. And I also thought the chemistry was there. I know
chemistry
that,
was huge. The, yeah.
You know, there. Yeah, she's not going to win an Emmy Award for being the greatest actress. I don't think she herself would make that claim. But that's something that, you know, chemistry is something that you just can't, you can get the greatest actors in the world and they can't act their way through, you know, not having any chemistry together.
Yeah. And her strength was believable. The character's strength was believable because you knew that if Gina Carano connected with your jaw with a left hook, you'd feel it. You just knew that about her. So it was just very believable. Whereas sometimes you see actors and they're thrown in situations where they're just, you know, wiping out entire battalions of stormtroopers. You just don't buy it, you know?
Yeah, 90-pound Katie Sackhoff kicking the ass of, you know, four or five full-grown men. That does take a reasonable suspension of disbelief, I would say. But Cara Dune, as played by Gina Carano.
Well, you just got a feeling she could hold her own in the real world in that situation, which just made it more believable. I wouldn't sell Katie Sackhoff to Short. She'd probably kick both of our asses without even thinking about it. But yeah,
she's got four or five guys at the same time. But hey, that's what sci-fi, fantasy, and all that stuff is all about: action, adventure. Definitely want to thank everybody that sent in their voice memos, they're left us voicemails. Really appreciate the tone of all of that. Everybody delivered their opinions, I think, with a great deal of respect. And, you know, without all the hyperbolic language that is, you know, so common with our discussions, I hope you felt the same way. We got a little heated there. But you know what? At the end of the day, I think we're parting with a good deal of consensus amongst us. And, you know, we want the best of for Star Wars and the franchise and the stories and the legacy and all of that. We want it to win. And Jim, you said it. We want Star Wars to win. You're not going to hear that, the other side of that on this show ever. We're never rooting for Star Wars or anyone associated with Star Wars to lose.
No.
We want it to be successful.
No, we're super fans here, and we will be for life. And, you know, this has come up. People have said to me, they don't know how they'll be able to continue being a Star Wars fan after this. Because they loved Gina. They love Cara Dune. They don't know if they'll be able to bounce back from this. To them, I say, hey, look at RFR. We've received some very shady treatment, not only from the fan base, but at the hands of Lucasfilm. And yet somehow we keep coming back for more. Maybe you can too. Maybe you can keep coming back for more. Because the stuff you've always loved about Star Wars is still there. It still exists.
It's always there.
It's always going to be there for you. That will help keep you afloat until something new comes down that you can get behind and really feel. But I understand your frustration. It's just, I've also heard the boycott Mandalorian, boycott Disney Plus and stuff. Hey, gang, if you're going to complain about cancel culture, don't practice it. Because that's basically what you're doing. You can make up your own mind. I mean, you can speak with your wallet and cancel if you want. But calling for a boycott, really?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if that's... fighting cancel culture with cancel culture. And at the end of the day, nobody wants to be a hypocrite, right? So
yeah, I think that's like punishing the whole class for something that a few bad kids have done. I'm all for, you know, everybody being individually responsible. And but this has been, it's been a great discussion. I hope you've enjoyed it. We'll still get voicemails calling us shills. iTunes reviews saying that we never criticize Disney or Lucasfilm.
Oh, those RFR guys are in the pocket, man.
They are funny. Hey, speaking of those reviews, we love to have those reviews. We love to have your subscription via Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcaster or podcatcher of choice. We know who your favorite podcasters are. Come on, your favorite podcatcher of choice. Just one rule, please.
Make them good.
Special shout out to the Rebel Force Radio Patreon group over there. Really, really appreciate the support. It does more than you'll ever know. And we do try very hard to make it worth your while, particularly this guy right here, Jimmy Mack, working all the time, making sure that there's new content. And or refreshed content like the Clone Wars Declassified Remastered. Go back and re-listen to those shows. Jimmy's cutting out all the fluff, so it's just the raw discussion. And we know, we hear from you, that there's people all over the Star Wars fandom that never gave Clone Wars a shot back when it originally aired. But now that it's on Disney Plus and it's part of the whole treasure trove of Star Wars content there, they're discovering it for the first time. So give Clone Wars Declassified Remastered a spin. Also, exclusive things, podcasts that you won't hear anywhere else, like RFR Comlink, RFR Q&A, the Babu Freaks are over there. All kinds of ways to hang out with us at Rebel Force Radio in between Rebel Force Radio episodes. The email address, if you want to send us your thoughts, your opinions, please do so. Show at rebelforceradio.com. That voicemail line is 708-320-1737. That's 708-320-1RFR. We're on, speaking of social media, we're on all the social media. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. In fact, there is an official Rebel Force Radio Facebook group. You can go over there, answer a few questions. And if you are deemed worthy, you shall be granted access and entrance. But it is, if you like the type of conversation that we were having on the show this week, then you'll really like the kind of conversation that goes on over at the official Rebel Force Radio Facebook group. Official website for Rebel Force Radio, all things and everything Rebel Force Radio is rebelforceradio.com, and you can find us online all over the internet. WGN Plus, we're on Jedi News, YouTube. Don't forget about YouTube. Please subscribe. We're very close to 10,000 subscribers. Please hit that subscribe button and the notification bell. When we do live shows, it's a great way to get notified that we're about to go live. So iHeart, TuneIn, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, Radio.com, anywhere you can find podcasts, you'll find us here at Rebel Force Radio. We'll see you next time. Love you all so much. Thanks for a great discussion. For Rebel Force Radio, I'm Jason.
I'm Jimmy Mack.
And remember,
the Force will be with you, always.
It's just been an honor. It's been an honor to be on this show, and I've loved every second of it. So I appreciate you all. Thank you so much.